Certainly appreciative of the presence of each and every one this afternoon, and I want to express my sincere appreciation to you for the invitation to come and be with you this afternoon. It's always a privilege to be with the congregation here at Knollwood, and I've always enjoyed the opportunities that I've had to be with you and look forward again to this service with you today. Now, if we were to ask the average person out there in the world to describe Christianity, how would many do that? Now, many think of Christianity as a ball of chain or a lot of thou shalt nots, that it's all designed to keep people from having fun and enjoying life. And the sad part is that even some members of the church feel that way about Christianity. Well, this afternoon, what I want to talk with you about is the statement here on the board, and that is, how shall we live our life here on this earth? You know, did God intend us just to be miserable waiting for eternity? Did He intend for Christianity just to be a lot of burdens that we had to bear with the hope of going to heaven? Or did He have a different purpose for us? And what we're going to look at tonight is the book of Ecclesiastes, or part of that anyway. And many people, when they look at the book of Ecclesiastes, consider it a very negative book. And in many cases it is, because what Solomon is doing is pointing out the things that cannot make us happy here on this earth, the things that cannot give us the fulfillment that we would like to enjoy. Now, many people believe that Solomon wrote this book at the end of his life, and when he had decided to change from some of the things that he had done when he was falling away from the Lord. We don't know for sure about that, but we want to look tonight at some of the advice that he gives us about being happy here on this earth. Now, as we said, here's the purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, what's the purpose of man's life here on this earth? That's what he's seeking. And what can provide man happiness in the world and true satisfaction in the life to come? Now, do any of us want to be happy here on this earth? Sure we do. And did God create this beautiful earth here just to make it a place where we're in misery? Yeah, we're going to try to show you the opposite of that. And what should we do with our talents and abilities? You know, we've got a lot of young people here in this audience, a lot of children. Yeah, they're going to answer that question sometime in their life. Every one of us wants to know, what should I do with my life here? And for those of us that are older, you know, what heritage can we leave our children? You know, what's it going to be like when these children grow up? Will they have the same privileges and opportunities that we have? Now, Solomon said that was his purpose, and it's stated here in chapter 1, verse 3. You know, what advantage does a man have in all of his work which he does under the sun? So he's asking the question, what should I do with my life while I'm here? What will bring me the greatest good and happiness? And so the purpose of the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe, is to convince men of the uselessness of any worldview that does not rise above man himself. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, what's the popular philosophy today? You know, we stated on a lot of different billboards, it says, just do it. You know, what does that mean? You ever stop to think about that? What it's saying is, just do whatever makes you happy. You don't have to worry about laws. You don't have to worry about moral standards. Whatever makes you happy, just do it. That's the philosophy of the world. And that the most important thing for me is to be happy. It doesn't matter who I'm hurting or who might be in the way of that, that I need to just enjoy my life here. Well, Solomon says that's a useless way to live our life. And that unless we rise above ourselves, unless we see a bigger picture in this world than just ourselves, we're not going to find happiness. And so Solomon is seeking to teach mankind the correct relationship to this earthly life. You know, I believe that God created this world and made it beautiful here for our enjoyment. I think He wants us to be happy right now and right here on this earth. And so the design of Ecclesiastes is to show us that happiness is to be had only in the fear of God and obedience to His laws. Now, what had Solomon done? If this is written at the latter part of his life, he'd got wrapped up in the things of this world and they pulled him away from God. But all of us know the last two verses of this book where it says that we're to fear God and keep His commandments. That alone can give man a cheerful enjoyment of his present life and an assurance of an everlasting happiness in eternity. Isn't that what you're here for tonight? Yeah, we want to go to heaven, but do we have to do it in misery? Does it have to be a burden? Or can I enjoy my life now and then have eternity waiting? Now, I appreciate the reading there, and if you listen while he was reading, what did Solomon say? He said, okay, I decided to try all forms of pleasure, all forms of things of this earth that would make me happy. Now, how do we determine happiness today? If you suddenly had $10 million, what would be the first thing that some people would do? They'd go buy a big home or build a home. What'd Solomon do? He said, I built houses. I planted vineyards. I made me pools. And then what would the women do? If you had all this money, would you do housework? He said, I got servants, and I had servants born in my house. And then what if you could have your favorite singer come and just sing to you whenever you wanted? He said, I got me singers, men and women. He got people who could play musical instruments. He got everything that you could imagine that would make him happy. And he said he tried all the pleasures of life. Now, this is the last three verses we want to look at. And I want you to think about this. Going up here to Fairfield Mall, okay? Walking through the mall, and anything you see you want, you say, I'll take 10 of those. That's what Solomon could do. Look at what it says. All my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. Anything he saw or thought he wanted, what'd he do? He possessed it. Now, if you could own the Mona Lisa, for example, that may not be appeal to anybody, but if you could have the finest piece of art, now Solomon said, I had gold and silver and the treasures of kings. Anything that was valuable in his time, he possessed it. He said, I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all of my labor. This was reward of all my labor. Now, when you go out and you build a new house and you get it done, is that enjoyable? He said, it was pleasurable for a moment, but he said, thus I considered all my activity which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. If you had the finest house, the largest pool, a chauffeur to drive you, cooks to cook for you, house cleaners, everything imaginable, would that guarantee happiness? Solomon said, I had it all and that wasn't the answer. There's no real profit. That's not the purpose of life here on this earth. So that raises the question, then what is man's purpose? What are we here for? Well, what did Solomon find? These were the negative parts of the book. He got wisdom. And of course, he was the wisest man to ever live on the face of the earth, given to him by God. And he said, what? The more wisdom you get, the more you know. What? How little you really know. And that earthly wisdom was not the answer. We just talked about pleasure. What did he say? I tried every pleasure imaginable, and it was all vanity. What's vanity? It means it's empty, of no real benefit, or striving after wind. What does that mean? Can you grab a hold of the wind? Can you hold the wind? All of that's useless activity here. And then earthly possessions. Solomon was the wealthiest man to ever live on the earth. And you know, with some people, it's human labor. I just live for my job. And that's the most important thing. But again, he said, when you do that, what happens? You just die and leave it to somebody else. But there's no real profit in any of these. Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, there are three certainties that are emphasized in this book. Number one is God. There is a divine creator, and you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't believe that. And God is both the creator, the controller, and the sustainer of our life. If we're going to find the secret to life here on the earth, this is the first certainty we have to come to grips with. We've got to realize that we are created by God, that He still controls our life here on this earth, and that He sustains what we have here now. Now notice from chapter 2, 24 to 26. This is some of the positive part of this book. He says, there is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without Him? For a person who is good in his sight, he's given wisdom and knowledge and joy. And while the sinner, he is given the task of gathering and collecting that he may give to the one who is good in God's sight. Now what does that verse say? He said every good gift that we enjoy comes from who? From God. What does God want for us? Does He want us to be a burden here on this life? What does He say? The gift of God is what? That we can enjoy our time here on this earth. He said, who can eat and who can have an enjoyment without Him? What does God give us? He gives us wisdom, knowledge, and joy here on this earth. Okay, so if you don't serve God, what's going to happen? You may amass this world's goods, but what's going to happen? You're just going to die and leave them to somebody else. The Christian learns what? How to enjoy life here and prepare for eternity. We have wisdom, knowledge, and joy here from God. Chapter 3:1. And back when I was a teenager, there was a song that was written by all of these sonnets that are here. You know, a time for peace and a time for war and a time to be born and a time to die. And there are 24 of them. But verse 1 says, there is an appointed time for everything and there is a time for every event under heaven. Is that true? What does that mean? Is there somebody still controlling this world? Does everything happen by blind chance? God's in control. He not only created, but He's in control. And He says everything's going to happen at the appointed time. Now, that doesn't mean that God has determined the day of my death, for example. Can I either speed up or slow down my death by the things that I do and the choices that I make? Absolutely. But what's the appointed time? The appointed time is we're all going to die. There's no way you can go around that. That's an appointment with God we're going to keep. And so there are appointed times and God controls everything that happens in this life. Now verse 11 said, He's made everything appropriate in His time. He's also set eternity in their heart. Now does anyone die saying, I can't wait to see the devil? What does every one of us know in our heart? We might ignore it all of our life, but when we get ready to die, what do we want? Who do we want to plead to? What does this say? Every one of us knows there's an eternity out there. Every one of us knows there's something beyond this life. We were given that by God as His creation. And we know that God's still in control, that He does things according to His timetable, and that there will be an eternity out there. And then in chapter 3, 12 to 14, he says, I know there's nothing better than to rejoice and do good in one's lifetime. What does God want us to do? Enjoy your life now. Moreover, that every man eats and drinks and sees good in all of his labor. Does he want us to be successful here? To see good? He said, it is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it. There's nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should fear Him. Now I want you to think about those ideas. What did he say? God wants you to enjoy your life now. He wants you to be successful in your labors. He wants you to find the joy in this life. But in order to do that, where does it start? I've got to fear God. I've got to recognize the certainty of God here on this earth. The second one is death. Every person who breathes that first breath of life, what's going to happen? They're going to die. Notice again, Ecclesiastes 9. The living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything, nor have they any longer reward, for their memory is forgotten. Now, is that true? We still remember our loved ones, right? So what's this saying? Is there any work once you die? Any human activity? See, whatever you've been doing here on the earth, once you die, it's over. It's finished. You might be president of the United States, but if you die, is anybody going to come and ask you a question? Look at what it says. Indeed, their love, their hate, their zeal have already perished, and they shall no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun. Whatever you were good at, whatever you did, whether you loved or hated or whatever it was, when you die, it's all over with. So what does that mean? I've got one life to live. And I need to live it to the fullest because there won't be a second opportunity to do what we should do here on this earth. And the third certainty is the judgment. Two appointments with God. Death and the judgment. Again, Ecclesiastes 3 says, I have seen under the sun that is a place of justice, there is wickedness, and there is a place of righteousness, there is wickedness. I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man, for a time for every man and every deed is there. So we have two choices. What is it? I can live righteously. What does that mean? It means to live in a manner that is in harmony with God's will. It is right in the sight of God. Not necessarily right in my opinion, but what's right with God. And does He recognize that I can choose to live a wicked life? I have that choice. God doesn't force anyone to serve Him. But what does He say? For every matter and every deed is there. What's going to happen? There's going to come a time when every one of us will have to answer for the choices that we've made here on this earth. God allows us to be free to make whatever choice we desire, but we will answer for those choices. So that brings us to the main part of this lesson. So if I've got those three certainties, how should I live my life here on this earth? What does Solomon say? Well, number one, enjoy life. Try to find the great good in this life. Notice Ecclesiastes 9 and 7. Go then, eat your bread in happiness, drink your grape juice with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. What does he say? Enjoy life. Enjoy your time here. God doesn't want this to be a burden. He created this world and made it this beautiful and wonderful place so that we can enjoy our bread and the things that God has prepared for us. He wants us to be cheerful. Number two, who should be more positive here on this earth than the Christian? What do we have to be happy about? Well, if you understand God's will, then what do you have? You have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You know what the purpose of life is. You know what you need to do with your life while you're here. And you can joyfully go about doing that. And so we should be positive on our physical standpoint. And then if we're right with God, we have God watching over and caring for us. And so there's no group of people on earth that ought to be more positive than we are. Notice what Solomon said. Ecclesiastes 9 and 8. Let your clothes be white all the time, and let not the oil be lacking on your head. Now, is that true? Are our clothes white all the time? No. So what does this mean? That's the way I would view life. Is that the cup is half full or half empty? Solomon said, we ought to enjoy our life here. We ought to be positive. We ought to look for the good in life. We ought to look that the oil is on our head. You know, the oil was the staple of their life here. And so he's saying, always look for the good. Always look for the positive. Rather than being negative and looking at the negative, emphasize the positive in your life. Then enjoy your family. Is a family a blessing? What did God say? Children are a reward from God. Having a family is a wonderful benefit here on this earth. Now notice what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9 and 9. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life which he has given you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil which you've labored under the sun. So what's he talking about? Well, what's one of the problems in our society today? You know, no one sticks to their commitments anymore. Whether you're a basketball coach or a husband or wife. So he said here, enjoy your life with that first love. If you look at Brother Smith, think about all the years that him and his wife have been together and all the wonderful opportunities that they've had together. Have they had their struggles? Absolutely. I'm sure as long as he does what she says, everything goes well. But what's the point? That's one of the joys in life, to have a husband and wife who learn to live together and love each other and grow together. And think about your children. Have you ever seen anything sadder than an older couple, or an older person who's dying and sick and needs help and they have no children, have no one to even care about? Or even worse, that where the children don't care and won't come to take care of the parents when they need it. You know, Solomon said here, one of the great joys of our fleeting life is our family. You know, the grandparents and all of the other things here. He said, this is the reward in your life, in all your toil and all you labored under the sun. You know, for those of us that are parents, what could be greater than seeing your children grow up to be Christians? Will all that labor be worth it? Will all of that toil that you put in be worth it if they grow up to be faithful Christians and you get to spend eternity with them? So we need to enjoy our family here on this earth. And then he says, just do the best that you can. Again, chapter 9, verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, verily do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you're going. Sheol is the grave. Again, what we say, we've got one life to live. Don't look back with regret. Don't look back with guilt at what you didn't do. We need to do the very best that we can every day. And how do we know that we need to do that? Well, we don't know how long we're going to be here. I went to a funeral of an 80-year-old lady on Saturday that was down in Kentucky. And there was a 15-year-old boy in the same funeral home on his bicycle and pulled out in front of a truck. So young or old, we don't know how long we're going to be here on this earth. If you're blessed to live here a long time, then you've got lots of opportunities. But what does he say? We need to do everything we can. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. In other words, do the very best job you can, and then you're going to be happy with that. You're going to enjoy the results. And he says, why? Because there's no activity, planning, or knowledge, or wisdom when you get to the grave. All of those activities are over with. So we only have one life to prepare to meet God. And then, as we know, Solomon summed it up by saying what? Fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12. Now, He tried all of those things. And that's what the book of Ecclesiastes shows. He tried everything imaginable to find out what was the purpose of life. And He said, here's the conclusion that all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment and everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Now, what does fear God mean? Are we to be afraid of God? You know, it's reverence at the thought of God's majesty, holiness, and justice. We need to have reverence for all that God is. His majesty, His holiness, and His justice. We need to have gratitude for His loving kindness and tender mercy to us. We need to have confidence in His wisdom, power, and faithfulness. Now look at how these go together. If I recognize His holiness and justice, if I'm thankful for all the things that He's done for me here on earth, then what am I going to do? I'm going to put my trust in His wisdom and His power, and I'm going to be faithful in doing what He wants me to do. And that's the last point, and that is submission to His will. So when you talk about fearing God, it's reverence and gratitude and confidence and submission to God's will, or as He puts it, keep His commandments. Now when God is honored and His will cheerfully performed, then the whole duty of man is fulfilled. Did anyone ever die saying, I wished I hadn't served God so many years? How do they die? Saying, I wished I hadn't wasted all these years doing things that are not beneficial. Solomon made some mistakes. But this book is written to tell us, here's the purpose of life. You know, what should we do with our life? Enjoy it. God created this world. He wants you to be happy now. He wants Christians to be the happiest, most positive people on earth. You know, be positive. Enjoy your family. They grow up quickly. You got all these babies. You know, enjoy them while they're young. They grow up and become teenagers, and then they're not so enjoyable, but enjoy the children while you can. Do your best and serve God. That's what we're here for. He wants us to be happy now, and He wants us to have an assurance of a home in God after this life is over. If you're here this afternoon and you're not in a right relationship with God, if you've never obeyed the gospel, then you really don't understand the knowledge and the wisdom and the joy that can come from serving God. And if we can help you in any way to make your life right with God, we'd be happy to do that. If as a Christian you've not been as positive and upbeat, and you've let things pull you away from the Lord, and you've got wrapped up in some of these earthly things, you know, it's easy to do. But Solomon said, well, I decided to try it all, and I found out it's all vanity and striving after wind. The most important thing is to serve God while we have time and opportunity. If we can help you in any way this afternoon, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.